This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
To Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us today on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Lots to get to today, Abdallah. We are here till 10 o'clock this morning. And a lot of top stories, really, when we're looking at things this morning. Most notably, the fact that we have live team sports taking place around the world. We'll address that in just a second. I watched some of the MMA last night. Once again, weekend number two of live sports during this pandemic. So things kind of moving in the right direction. But we really start things this morning with the Chicago Bears and Michael McCaskey passing away at age 76 due to cancer. Tough thing to see yesterday, but also a thing that you can kind of look at in retrospect and kind of give a tip of the cap to what the Bears accomplished when Michael McCaskey was at the head.
Yeah, when he was, he took over in 83 after his grandfather, George Halas, obviously, held that position until 1990. He held the position until 1999. They went to eight playoff seasons, six NFC Central when it was called that division titles. And of course, they won the Super Bowl under his, reign there. And while, they did so much for the game and growing it on a world level. Roger Goodell came out with a statement and said that they were one of the first teams to go to London and all that kind of stuff. And started Bears Cares and did so much for the community of Chicago and, of Illinois and for all Bears fans. And obviously, the most important thing for fans is having the success that he did going to having eight playoff seasons and winning the Super Bowl ultimately. The Bears haven't done since, but something, to be the kind of to be holding the wheel during the Super Bowl run and to be in charge of the ship and growing the sport and growing the game and also growing the Bears, basically, making the Bears and making what we know as the Super Bowl Bears, the Super Bowl, all that good stuff.
Well, in the way I kind of I think most Bears fans will look at this is early success and then about a decade at the end where it seemed like ineptitude was the way that led. And, things have changed with the Bears franchise ever since Mike McCaskey was at the head.
Yeah.
Right. So and it's changed for the better. So I feel like the story is, yes, we can look back and what was accomplished in the 85 season, all those playoff appearances we saw in the 80s and into the early 90s, that was all there. You can acknowledge that. Greatest moments in Bears history. But then towards the end, it seems like the franchise lost its way and it feels like it started to move in the right direction under George, who's now been running the team for quite some time now. But it seems like in the right direction because George has been very public in letting us know that the Bears franchise and what Virginia wants from the franchise is not a mediocre franchise in the National Football League. Go and get the right coach. Go and get the right guy, a GM, to make moves. Go and get players to make this team a playoff team each and every year, which was the success level when Michael McCaskey was running things in the early 80s. So I think that's the full picture here, right? He passes at 76, a lengthy battle with cancer. But the 85 season, the highlight, right? He was there at the head in 85, taking over for his grandfather, running this team to become one of the great teams in NFL history. But then on the back end, it's not as great. And it was time for a change. And I think that both combined will be the lasting memory of Michael McCaskey when you look at the Chicago Bears franchise.
Yeah, and I think, you look at the McCaskeys and if obviously Bears fans know that the McCaskeys are very hands-on ownership. Like, this is what they do. They own the Bears. The McCaskeys have a ton invested into the team. So, it went from Michael, like you said, to George, and Michael just did so much for the Chicago. Just like, I didn't even know. The Bears sent out, you know, obviously the notice and the press release about his passing, and he served on, you know, the NFL's long-range planning committee, the expansion committee. He was part of the Field Museum. He ran the director of WTTW. He did so much for Chicago that, yeah, he also ran the Bears and won a championship with them. But then afterwards, doing all of this other stuff for the city of Chicago that the McCaskies have their hands in. The McCaskies have always been great for the city, and Michael McCaskey passing after battling, you know, the having a long battle with cancer, obviously a lot of success with the Bears.
So that's the top story number one here this morning. Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Michael McCaskey, who led the Chicago Bears for nearly three decades following the death of his grandfather, George Halas, died on Saturday after a lengthy battle with cancer. Team source said he was 76. So that's the first story on the top story list this morning. I would say number two for me, Abdallah, is the fact that yesterday I consumed live sports from team sports playing against each other that was in real time. Full disclosure, I do not watch the Bundesliga. I am a soccer fan. I enjoy international soccer. I will watch the Premier League. I like to follow Manchester United. I love watching Team USA. The men's and the women's teams, I follow both of those two teams as they qualify for World Cups, as they play for World Cups. The men's and the women's U.S. national teams are two teams that I follow. I follow Manchester United in the Premier League. The only time I'm watching Bundesliga soccer are when those teams get to the Champions League. That's the only time I'm watching. But yesterday, the Bundesliga, the German soccer league, had their games scheduled. The games went off. The games were on TV. You can consume it. You could gamble on it. And to me, it was fantastic because finally we are back to a point where a major league is back playing throughout this pandemic. And I think it is a great step forward for teams and leagues here in this country to kind of follow. Because from what I saw yesterday was a fantastic morning of watching soccer. I had no issues with what I consumed.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, it was good to watch live sports again. It was good to gamble on live sports again. A few soccer overs that were good to hit. I think that when you watch these games, though, you know, the like Ian Dark had a video that he posted on Twitter of him at his house calling games. You know, like, yeah, that's just how. And ESPN has done that before, you know, like in the Olympics, they do that too. People aren't necessarily there for the World Cup.
The World Cup games.
They're here in America or in Bristol or wherever.
Maybe people don't know this, but the last couple World Cups, the announcers for the American television broadcast have been in Bristol, Connecticut, yeah, in a studio like we are sitting in right now, watching a live feed from the stadium. So their voices are being dubbed over the live feed.
And that might be something that, you know, that happens. You know, if baseball comes back, and the proposal was put out yesterday, if baseball comes back, you might get teams that have their announcers not travel with them. You know, that they could just do it from a studio. They could do it from the ballpark. You know, like Len and JD, are they going to be traveling with the Cubs? Who knows? They could just do it from here. Like, they could go to Wrigley and do it here, and then they don't have to travel with the teams. But to ultimately, the biggest difference was obviously no fans, right? Yeah. Not having fans in the stands. And you know, a few
teams. Did it bother you?
No, not at all. Of course not.
No, consuming it. And like, listen, okay, baseball guy, football guy, don't go running. We're not going to break down the schematics of soccer here.
No. We're talking about fans.
But we were watching, but we all watch TV, right?
Yeah.
So we all have an opinion on consuming and watching TV. To me, the no fans thing had no impact on my enjoyment on consuming the game yesterday.
When I was watching it, I noticed at the end, like, they were, you know, you usually go to your fans' side and you give them a, and they did that still.
Yeah,
and like, it was
a weird moment.
It was weird. And I go back to what Joe Buck said earlier this week, that Fox may put in fake crowd noise and they may also put in virtual fans in the stands. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't want to see that. I want to, is it weird to say that, like, We're going to remember this, right? We're all going to remember going through this the way the older generations remember going through other pandemics, you know, whether it's the first influenza pandemic or whatever it was, right? Before there was a flu vaccine, before there's a coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine. We're all going to remember this. So why not have no fans in the stands and not put these virtuals, because we all are watching old games now, right?
Yeah.
They're going to run old games from this time period eventually, right? So in 20 years, when, or in 30 years, or in 40 years, yeah, why not? There'll be some classic games. Yeah, there will be.
I hope.
In 40 years, when Chris Bleck Jr. Jr., the third, because you're going to have a son, and then that son will have a son.
Jimmy Jr.
When Jimmy Jr.
Yeah.
Well, when Jimmy Jr. is by your side, and you're watching an old game from the pandemic that doesn't have fans because it's like the 40th anniversary of the pandemic game, the first game without fans,
right,
and they're rerunning it on MLB Network or whatever, and little Jimmy Jr. Jr., the third, goes to Chris and says,
Jimmy JJ.
Says, Pa, what do you want to be called, Poppy? Papa? What do you, Papa?
He says, let's go with Papa.
He goes, Papa, why are there, I don't know why he's British, why are there no fans in the stands? And you go, well, Jimmy the third, we didn't have fans in the stands because people didn't want to stay home for 3 weeks. And so because of that, we don't have fans. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to explain to, like, it's a remembrance. It's a time where we, you don't, because the worst thing would it be to have virtual fans, and you're like, oh yeah, they decided to put some computer simulation fans and it looked like a Madden game for 3 months of the football season. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see empty seats. I want to hear what's going on the field. I don't want fake crowd noise. I want this to be a remembering of what happened during this time period. I want this to be in the time capsule of what happened in 2020 and 2021 where there were no fans in the stands, so people know what went on. And it's not like people are going to forget what went on. It's not like people are going to forget this. But it's just, you see it and you're like, oh yeah, remember that? That was weird.
Well, yeah, it's weird, but you don't need, like, if you want to think that, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you that your opinion's wrong. I just don't. Like, I just want people to play again. Like, I don't need the fake crowd. I agree with you, it's stupid. And I agree that piping in fake crowd noise and the moans and the groans as an interception takes place, mm-hmm, and a big sack takes place in the backfield, and all of a sudden, no one needs that. The soccer game yesterday, watching the soccer game, there's no issue for me not hearing the crowd respond to a bad defensive play that led to a goal. I don't need that. And I don't know what world you're talking about where for 40 years from now we're talking to our little juniors, mm-hmm, and we're telling them about the time of the pandemic and we need the games with no fans on TV because they're all-time classics. I don't know what you're doing with that, but hey, if that's the reality you want to live in someday, then go for it. I just think that we should just have some live sports on TV. That's all I'm going for. And consuming it yesterday, like, okay, if you're not aware, in soccer, it is tradition that both teams come out of the tunnel together before a match, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they separated them.
Yeah.
So one team came out, went to their side. The other team came out, went to their side. There's no issue. No issue at all.
No kids.
So if we get to baseball, and some of the baseball stuff is just not what it used to be, but we can still have the actual game, I'm okay with it. There's no problem there.
No spitting.
Football. If it's not exactly what you're used to seeing, but at least they play the game of football, I'm okay with it.
But
there's no problem there.
Why are you putting fake crowds just to make it look different? Why are you putting fake crowds?
Well, yeah, it's stupid. Come on, it's Fox. Fox is also the one that had the tail on the hockey puck
from
back in the day. So, like, that's their thing.
They do have a cool football robot, though.
Well, I know. Cletus, right?
Yeah,
Isn't that his name?
His name's Cletus,
okay. If that's what you need to do to get by. But to me, consuming the soccer, and then the third item of the top stories from today is the MMA is now in week two of this. And if we go back to week one, the three individuals that tested positive for the coronavirus before the event last week,
mm-hmm,
it seems as if that was it for that. They removed those individuals. Everyone else from last weekend seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
And the MMA has gone forward and they put on the events last night. They had an event on Wednesday of, mm-hmm, this last week. And they're rolling now.
Yeah.
And watching the fight last night on ESPN was great. And now we have live sports back. Here's the pathway. Baseball, basketball, hockey, NFL, college football. There you go. We have live sports in this country, in Florida with the MMA. And we have it happening with a major soccer league, the Bundesliga, in Germany. I know the Premier League is coming up. We'll have golf. We have NASCAR today.
Yeah.
Things are moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I think it's great. And obviously there are certain sports that you can do easier without fans. And like soccer is one of them because there's a lot of distancing between players and whatnot. And, you know, NASCAR, there's obviously everybody's already wearing stuff anyway. And the driver's sitting there by himself in a car. You know, golf, you're play, it's a, you know, one person game. And, but, you know, the other sports that where there is a lot of touching, you know, like for lack of a better term,
it doesn't
you know?
Get there's not more touching than what I saw last night in MMA with one dude bleeding on another dude's back.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a strong wrist grapple on the ground. One dude on his stomach, the other dude on top of him, bleeding from the face right on his back.
But
there's not more touching than that.
But if they're they've both tested negative. And they don't have coronavirus.
Touch away.
Have punch a man in the face.
What's the plan for baseball? We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Okay, you're right.
I told you.
I mean, I'm trying to watch SportsCenter here in the studio
and
while
there are
we're
live
in commercial
sports
break.
On. There's live sports. But you're, I'm working on an over parlay here. Come on, man.
No, I get it now because now the Bundesliga is on TV, so now we have that on the TV. Okay, but yeah, you told Tyler to change it to old NASCAR replay.
I just said put on FS1 because in 2 minutes...
I'm just trying to watch SportsCenter. I'm trying to be a company guy. But it's fine. We'll watch live sports. Bundesliga. It's great. What do you think of that, Abdallah?
So Chris Baseball sent the proposal to all of their players in the Major League Baseball Players Association that outlined the guidelines for how they could accomplish a safe and effective baseball season for however many games they can. The main takeaway, no spitting. No, there's a lot more than that. They want to have 10,000 tests a week for these players and their families and operations and umpires and everybody that's involved with game day ops, right? Anybody that's involved in anything game day, anybody that's involved with being around these players and in the same vicinity as these players. They want to have regular testing plus a limited number of essential staff. They're going to monitor all the developments. The vast majority of tests will run on saliva collections through oral or nasal swabs. They'll go intake testing upon arriving, so they'll, you know, do temperature checks and stuff before they walk into the stadium. Individuals who are tested must self-quarantine in his or her spring training residence until the results of the test are reported, likely within 24 to 48 hours. An individual who tests positive is instructed to self-quarantine and gets treated accordingly. And there's a lot of rules that are also involved with how day of game operations will take place. You know, showering is discouraged. They want you to go back to your hotel or to your house or whatever and shower there. They want
showering at the ballpark is discouraged.
It's discouraged.
Showering
is
encouraged.
Yeah, but shower, that's what I said. They want you to go home and shower.
Yeah. But if you say showering is discouraged and just that's it, I think it's important to qualify that they don't want you to shower.
I think people know.
The way you said it.
I trust that the listeners of ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago and the ESPN Chicago app and the viewers on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, are smart enough to know that when I said showering is discouraged, it was meant at the ballpark. I have a feeling that that's what they said, that that's what they know that I said that, and that's what it was implied.
For the few that didn't follow that?
Okay, fine.
Like me, I'm confirming at the ballpark is what they meant.
Well, we're talking baseball, so it's early. No fighting. No fighting.
Oh.
No fighting.
What about high chin music?
No. If you bring some sweet chin music, there will be no fights.
Wow.
So
what does this mean for the Astros?
Well, it means that it's open season when I think of it, because you can't fight me.
Huh.
Right?
No fights.
I can throw a baseball at your face and you can't do anything about it, because otherwise you're going to get suspended.
How's that
going
to work?
I don't know.
So it's a 67-page manual that covers testing, travel, in-stadium adjustments, on-field changes, and a wide array of other issues. Major League Baseball will break individuals into safety tiers Tier one, players, on-field personnel, and medical personnel. Tier two, other essential employees, including front office officials. Tier three, cleaning crews and groundskeepers. MLB would test tier one and tier two individuals for coronavirus multiple times a week. Families of those individuals will also be tested. Those who test positive will be quarantined. Abdallah mentioned that part. It does not say specifically what would happen to a tier one or tier two individual if they get diagnosed to COVID-19 while that team is on the road, whether or not they stay in that city or if they travel back by themselves or what takes place in that situation, which they'll have to figure out. But I think the important thing here is then they point out that they will need 10,000 coronavirus tests per week to get this up and running. They will also need to overhaul stadiums, in-game settings to encourage social distancing, and then kind of change some of the social norms when it comes to playing baseball. I know there's something out there with the balls that they will use in the bullpen, and then the balls that make their way onto the field of play mm-hmm. will be two separate sets of baseballs, so you don't have the interchanging, even though those individuals will be going back and forth. But there's a lot here, and I just hope that Major League Baseball sees what's taking place as Abdallah watches the Bundesliga get warmed up for the match that will take place on FS1 at what time? That's going to air at a what?
4 minutes.
Okay, so it starts at 8:30.
Yeah.
I hope baseball sees this and sees that there's a plan in place, and did it take German soccer players a month and a half to get ready, to get ramped up? Because of all the sports, fitness level is a highly important item when it comes to soccer play, right?
Yes.
A player's fitness is something you hear about when you hear people talk about soccer.
Fit.
I just hope that baseball sees what's taking place with soccer and what will take place in the next 2 weeks with the Premier League mm-hmm. and say, okay, here's our testing manual. Here's what we will do. The safety precautions are set by Major League Baseball. We're ready to go. Let's get this going. Right? Like, because each day that passes, another day of the summer comes off the calendar. And Major League Baseball doesn't have a whole lot of time to get this all in. And then, while you are waiting to get this done, with the safety ideas that are floating around and how they can actually do this, you have players who are just openly saying things, which sometimes are annoying people, making people upset, and maybe not the right thing to say. And then you get Bryce Harper on Instagram suggesting that basically baseball should just blow up all the rules and baseball should just do something completely different for this summer to get in the baseball season. Bryce Harper lays out on his Instagram that he thinks that baseball should go to this concept where not only do you get the games in throughout the season, you get a day off, but then you have to play a doubleheader every Sunday. But then the World Series turns into an event that's much like the Super Bowl at one neutral location, and it takes 2 weeks to play. Your thoughts on Bryce Harper on Instagram suggesting a two-week World Series like the Super Bowl.
Why would it take 2 weeks? You're playing seven games, takes 7 days.
Well, maybe you play more games.
What?
Best of 9. Best of 11.
Well, if it's 2 weeks, you could do best of 13.
I mean, why not? I mean, so Bryce Harper's here. Some of the things that Bryce Harper suggests on his Instagram feed is that they should kind of divide the leagues up into an East/West like conference situation, like the NBA. He suggests in July they could play 31 days, August 31 days, September 30 days, October 31, November 15, get to 135 games for a regular season. He would suggest an off day every 2 weeks on a Monday, and Sunday they would play double headers that would only be 7 innings. He suggests 30 players, 6-man rotations, save the arms if they can, DH in both leagues. He also goes to there should be a 10-team round-robin college World Series format for a new style of playoffs. I mean, this is a lot of kind of nonsense, I think, but once again, you get a player kind of speaking on his own, suggesting items for Major League Baseball when baseball should really be at the forefront of this, saying, this is our plan, this is what we're doing, Here's what we agreed upon. Here's how the season's going to take place. I think it's a bad thing that each day we get a new player coming out and saying something completely different from the main objective of completing baseball this summer. I get that Bryce Harper suggesting they play, but like the stuff he's suggesting is completely crazy.
Well, I also find it very convenient for Bryce Harper as a player who supported Blake Snell and says that, you know, someone had to speak the truth and Blake Snell did it, that they should be getting all of their money. I find it very interesting that he found a way to play 135 games.
Right.
Right? He played, I mean, look, it's not 162, but it's pretty damn close to 162.
It's a lot more than the suggested 78 to 82.
Yeah. Which means that the players there would get more money because they're getting a prorated amount for how many ever games they play. Now, I know this. You know this. I'm not going to watch baseball over football. So to me, having your season extended into October, into November, in a two-week World Series, sorry, not going to watch it. You need to capitalize on the fact that you have nothing else going on right now and that you need to get back to play in July, if it's safe, obviously. And because nothing else is going on, because the NFL wouldn't start until September, and maybe October, November, whenever they can safely start, because the NBA is playing, this doesn't do. You want to come back and you want to be the only thing that people have to watch right now during the day, you know, on weekdays, on weekends, whatever. And having 135 games that extends into the winter, where are you playing these games? You're going to play games in November in Chicago? Because then you're going to have to find all these domed stadiums for teams to play in. This makes no sense.
This is Bryce Harper, someone who's super famous, just on Instagram, giving ideas.
It's a lot of characters for a post, too.
But I think the point is, each day that passes that baseball doesn't have a plan in place, the players keep saying things that, like,
they have a plan.
They're not all on the same message.
They have a plan. We want to play 80 games. We want to start in July. We want to start spring training in June 10th if it's possible. Now, agree to there's two sides need to agree on how they're going to split money. But other than that, the plan is set.
We look forward to The Last Dance. The final two episodes air tonight. We talk about it coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Tonight, episodes 9 and 10 of The Last Dance will air on ESPN television. Tomorrow, here on ESPN 1000, will be a Last Dance Monday, and it's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. The documentary has been fantastic. I'm looking forward to tonight's episodes, number 9 and 10. I'm excited to see if there's something behind the scenes that we're unaware of that will come out as the dynasty ends. Because, like, that's the key to me, is the stuff that we've seen to this point, it's been the Michael Jordan content, his commentary on what took place, that's been the most fascinating part of this documentary.
Yeah, I think that the we get the flu game tonight, right? That should be part of it.
So the way this is going to work is, you get the Pacers and the Bulls series of the Eastern Conference Finals, which was fantastic. You get the backstory of the 97 Finals as well. Because remember, we have the two timelines that are going to converge. So, like, the final episode will be real time for the entire episode. Because we still have the backstory of the 97 Finals, which is where you get the flu game.
Yes.
So that takes place. So that will converge with what's going on with the Pacers tonight in the 1998 timeline.
Look, I don't think you're going to get anything crazy. I think you could.
Well, I mean, but the best stuff of the documentary has been the Jordan behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I think I still want Jordan to admit that he was, like, really hungover.
Oh, so that's what you want from the flu game?
I want him to just look at the camera and be like, so what, You know, because Jason
Hare and I were hammered.
Yeah, well, Jason Hare hasn't shied away from asking him anything. And he said Jordan's been great asking everything.
Ask that question.
All the conspiracy theories, even about his father. So you have to ask him. And I would love it for Jordan to just look at the camera and say, you never walk away from a heater. And it would be like to know that he was out gambling or out drinking and was just like, I did this hung over. Well, that's what I want.
Without seeing, like, here's the thing. I feel like these last two episodes could have their own 10-part series.
Oh, yeah.
Because of this Pacers series, what took place in that 97 finals, and then when you get to the 98 finals and how that goes down, like the final game, game six of 98, that could be a two-hour doc in itself. And we'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour at about 9:15 because that's our Bulls backstory for today. And we'll be taking a look at game six of the 1998 finals.
And then you're going to get all the stuff at the end, you know, them leaving.
Yeah, afterwards.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Get the
post-game. Like, that could be a two-hour doc
alone.
Like,
you're going to get, man, I wish there were more of these.
So Jeff Meller here at ESPN 1000 put together a fantastic montage of some of the best interviews here on ESPN 1000 and clips from The Last Dance.
That's a tribute to Michael Jordan's presence in American life as the greatest basketball player who ever lived.
Here they come. Here they come. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Michael played every game as if it was last. Every single game. There was never a day off.
Before Michael Jordan got to the Bulls in 1984, drugs were prevalent.
One of the articles I read, they called it the Bulls Traveling Cocaine Circus.
I've never read that.
Accurate?
BJ Armstrong.
The professionalism that group had, that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, that was unparalleled. That was untouchable.
We've got Craig Elo.
Sometimes I would ask him, how did you do that? And he's like, I don't know, it just happens. So
straight up bitches. That's what they walked off like. Now, we just kick ass. Go ahead and go.
You are Isaiah frickin' Thomas, a great figure in the NBA, and you can't go back to the basic fundamental of sportsmanship. I think that sucks.
Looking back on it, of course we would have made a better decision. And so I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying you're right.
Straight up bitches.
Jerry Krause, the Bulls general manager, says, quote, organizations win titles, not players, end quote.
As you know, David, there was a misquote. What I said was that players and coaches alone don't win championships, that organizations do.
Bill Cartwright.
Jerry Krause works for Jerry Reinsdorf. He makes recommendations to him. The final decision, he does not make.
Pippen started abusing Krause openly, you know, cursing him out on the bus.
Couldn't tolerate him anymore. Didn't respect him.
Pippen started berating Jerry Krause.
Charles Barkley.
I'm like, come on, Mr. Reinsdorf. The notion that little Jerry Krause broke up the Bulls, I think that was very disingenuous.
Under Dan Marley. What did you think when you heard Michael say that, how much Krause liked him?
I almost fell out of my chair.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
I felt like Scotty was being selfish, you know, worrying about himself as opposed to what his word was to the organization as well as to the team.
Terry Francona is our guest. When Michael was in the minors, you were his manager. Would he have made the majors?
I found out quickly. When you told Michael no, he could find a way to make the answer be yes.
The next day, I get a call from Michael. He said, I don't know if Scotty's ever going to live this down.
It's always going to come back to haunt him at some point in some conversation. Pip knows better than that.
It's one of those incidents where, you know, I wish it never happened. But if I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change it.
John Starks joins us. They just hated you because you were a Knick.
I love Chicago. I don't know why they hate me.
I come to practice. Phil calls me and says, look, you know, Dennis wants to tell you something.
When Dennis wants to tell me something, I knew it's not something that I want to hear.
So Dennis says, I need a vacation. And I look at Phil and say, Phil, what do you mean, vacation? He says, you need a vacation. You need some time off to let loose.
I say, look, Phil, let me tell you something, man.
If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation. We look at Dennis and say, Dennis, what are you going to do?
He says, well, I need to go to Vegas.
Phil, you let this dude go to vacation, we're not going to see him. You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
Carmen Electra joining us. Do you guys have a night of escapades at the Berto Center?
We did. We did. We at the practice facility.
A lot of people back down the bike. I didn't. I made it a point. I said, just tire him out. It took a toll, and then resting him a little bit, and then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but it was a difference. and beating him down a little bit.
The glove. I had no problem with the glove. Like, I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way. Break.
Good work by Jeff Mellor here at ESPN 1000, piecing that together with some of the interviews here on ESPN 1000 over the last month or so and The Last Dance. And really, when you hear Jordan say that, to me, that to this point has been the most important part of the documentary. Michael Jordan thinking about his life, how much he gave to the game of basketball to be the best, and how he didn't want... He only asked his teammates to do what he would do, but he is insane, and he is the most competitive person who's ever existed. So, like, yeah, no one could live up to his level, but he just wanted you to try. And, like, the thing that sticks out when he's talking about that at the end of Episode 7 is that he wanted his teammates to come along with him. It wasn't in spite of you type of thing. And I feel like we give so much credit to LeBron James in today's culture because all of his teammates like him and they all want to be around him. But Jordan challenged his teammates. He didn't want them to then walk away. He wanted them to celebrate with him, to be a part of it, to have the city of Chicago be a part of it with him. To me, that's the most impactful part of the documentary to this point.
What's fascinating to me is, and it's probably because he's talked about it so much, is that he gets more emotional talking about his drive and his desire to win than he does talking about his father. Like, when he talks about his father passing, it's very robotic. It's very, like, I've talked about this a bunch. Here's me talking about it again. I know exactly what to say and what and how to say it, and then we move on from me talking about my father. And when he talks about this, and even his trainer, you saw it in the documentary, Tim Grover, got emotional talking about how he wanted to go back to work right after the season where they came back and lost to the Magic. He came out and said, "We're going. When do you want to start?" And he said, "Tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow." And Tim Grover gets emotional when talking about
Jordan's lift.
Yeah,
the day after he a loss. Should hold it back. Cheers.
It's crazy. Like, people talking about how his drive get emotional.
Years ago.
I know. It's nuts.
I wanted to work out.
He wanted to get up 100 shots.
Good question. Next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN_Chicago.
Some Karl Malone thoughts yesterday on social media.
Getting tweets off yesterday.
Some people did not like what I was saying about the mailman.
All you did was ask a question.
I'll ask you in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Each week here on ESPN 1000 at this time, we have our favorite segment of the week. It's called Good Question. We score the hosts here at ESPN 1000. The way you score a point is when they ask a question to a guest on the phone and the guest says good or great question, you get a point. And we've been playing for a couple of years now. In the year 2020, what does our leaderboard look like?
So Tommy Waddle, Tommy over the middle, number 87, is in the lead with 21. And tied for second place are Cap, Sylvie, and Jonathan Hood, a three-way tie. Now, I will tell you this. Tom Waddle was off for 3 days. He was down in Tennessee. He was seeing his parents. He was, you know, he went to go check in and make sure everything's okay. You know, say hello, play a little golf.
Some ground.
So
made
some
up
ground could here be made up because Waddle off for 3 days.
Okay.
Let's see.
So let's get to it. This is this week's edition of Good Question.
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
It's a clown question, bro.
You're not taking any questions?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get it?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Tom Waddle off this week for 3 days. Can someone make a run? Here's this week's edition of Good Question.
I'd imagine if you're Dak, would you be more apt to take it knowing, hey, listen, free agent deals may look a little bit different next year or a year down the road if this turns into a situation where you're not having fans and a lot of revenue is lost?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Before we get into the article you did yesterday, I want to ask you something because you just mentioned, and I have thought about this, and I know that nobody really wants to talk about it, but, you know, do you think that if and when baseball does return that there's going to be reporters following teams and broadcasters at games, or do you think that games could be called off of TVs, or what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think those are great questions.
We know there was a lot of discussion about what went on during that call Friday. Adam Silverhead with everybody in the league.
Of course it was.
From your perspective, and this is the most important thing we need to get, what were the things that came out of that phone call that we really should be focused on?
Wingo's still going here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Good question.
So when you get a phone call and you are told it's the fall of 97, yeah, we've just traded you to the Chicago Bulls for Dickie Simpkins. Like, rewind your brain to that moment.
That's a great question.
Do you take it as the
back to back,
that might be the nicest guy because everyone wants to be liked, and he certainly is very complimentary of you as a person.
That's a great question.
Rob, you and I have not talked about this in the past. And I just thought this would be a great time to talk about the similarities or differences in football philosophy from Gutekunst to Ted Thompson when he was the GM. What's the big difference or something similar to both regimes?
It's a good question.
Moving forward as they're trying to figure out baseball and basketball now, a little more runway for the NFL, does this change your thought process about the possibility of going to work with all that's still going on?
You know, it definitely gives me perspective. It's a good question.
The Cam Newton situation, do you see him landing?
I've heard Seattle. Making moves.
I've heard the Rams.
Making moves.
Someone do you think he go in off somewhere as a
making
backup?
Moves.
Or is he, if he's not starting, he's sitting out this
Cam
year,
Newton,
some have speculated.
It's a great question.
Let's say they do agree.
Carm.
They're going to play some baseball, but a very wealthy player, a more veteran player who has made his money, might have some genuine, serious medical concerns, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out this year. Are teams bracing for that to be a possibility, maybe with some of the more tenured, higher-paid players?
I've only talked to a few people about this, not really
Jesse
teams, but players.
Come on.
I haven't really gotten that sense.
Okay.
But, of course, I haven't talked to every player with underlying conditions.
Hang
I was
up
trying
on
to get
him
a hold of Brandon
Goodbye
Morrow, diabetes, the other day. And you know, that guy might be towards the end of his career. Does he want to risk it? Those are good questions.
Wait, he doesn't even know.
Where
see,
are
he
you
even
in
know
trying
say
to
it
relate to the parents
Wingo
in this situation?
Back,
is that the X factor that's involved in college
Hal,
sports,
right?
Brian, that we all know isn't
really
a part of the NFL
Hal
when you sign
Wingo
up and you have a contract?
I knew there was a third.
Collectively bargained these things for you. That's how this works out.
I thought he was good from deep.
Obviously, that is not the case in college football. So what is Notre Dame doing?
No,
and
no.
What do you have set up to talk to the parents of the student athletes to let them know what is actually going to be going on campus and how you might assuage their fears a little bit?
Yeah, Trey, I think it's a great question.
on the baseball
front.
If we do come back, we get the negotiations hammered out. We get the health hammered out. What do you believe of the changes
will
be something that we'll be like, oh, my gosh, this is great. We need to make this permanent.
I don't know. Cap did have something to hang up on it. Do we need to take
him? Is there a team amongst this group that you put above the rest that you were most surprised didn't get over this
show?
Ooh, that's a good question.
All right.
Wow, what a week.
All right. A big week. Wow. But Tommy Waddle still in the lead with 21.
Cap made a move, though.
Cap's at 20 right now. Cap's in second place.
That's pretty impressive.
Probably have Jesse on a few times this week to get those numbers up.
I mean, okay, so listen, this has been an ongoing feud now for the last 3 years.
It's not a feud. Well, I love Jesse.
Well, it's not a feud with us. Yeah. We're just the rule makers, and it seems as if in past seasons of Good Question that Jesse's been cheating. And we've brought that to the board, and we've kind of kept an eye on it. Like, it's the same way as if when the Houston Astros come back to play, there's going to be just extra attention brought to the way that they're operating their business.
For sure.
And so then you get Jesse answering a question to Carmen, and he answers the question, but at the end tags it with the good questions there, Carm. So you kind of have to, you raise an eyebrow and you kind of look at it and you say, hold on, what's going on here? Is there something?
And Jesse knows the bit, too.
He acts like he's too cool.
And he's
I'm Jesse Rogers.
Hey, Mr. He calls me Mr. Good Question.
I don't know what Black and Abdallah are doing on Sunday mornings. No one listens. That's what he said to me once.
Whoa.
He said that. So no one listens. Wow. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, we're keeping our eyes on you, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get away with this. All right, we're like, what was that show with the dog and the Scooby-Doo and whatever? We're like them. Yeah. We're going to pull your mask off at some point and realize that Jesse's Cap.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
Keep the mask on.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.